This week on the podcast, we have an underwater magician. She's just broken a new world record, a rather terrifying dive and account whilst the Chinese Navy decided to continue to use sonar when they knew that divers were in the water around them and they actually continued to approach them. Nevertheless, the Go Diving Show is heading to Australia next year. That's exciting news. A cave diver has set a new depth record of 308 meters and Paddy have been invited to a first ever underwater panel. So the first news story is congratulations to a young scuba diving magician who has set a Guinness World Record for performing the most conjuring tricks underwater in the space of 3 minutes. So this is US diver Avery Emerson Fisher, who is 13 and, quote, loves scuba diving as much as she loves magic. The world record had previously been held by UK professional magician Martin Rees, but that had been for 20 underwater tricks, which is impressive. But Avery blew this out of the water by getting through no fewer than 38 illusions within the time limit. In fact, she performed a total of 46 tricks in the time, though 8 were later disqualified. Boo, Guinness World Record person in a fancy blue suit or whatever they wear. Whilst Rees was setting the record in 2020, Avery, who was 10 at the time, decided that she wanted to learn how to scuba dive as a lockdown project. After completing the online study and exam, she had earned her open water diver certificate that summer. She has since collected a further 12 scuba certificates, been on more than 30 open water dives, and is described by Guinness World Records as incredibly passionate about marine conservation and ocean stewardship. Avery trained for months for her world record attempt, testing her underwater magic skills in a variety of bodies of water. Last year, at the age of 12, she became the youngest scuba magician, which is a Paddy distinctive speciality created by master instructor Chef Anton Reniti. Oh, is his name Chef or is he actually a chef? I don't know, to be honest. I remember reading the news story that there was a new Paddy specialty, and thought, yeah, that's a bit of fun. And they kind of sell it as something to do on safety stops when you're bored. And they I think they sold a special kit with it, with a few basic magic tricks, just something a little bit different. And yeah, the guy himself actually acted as her technical consultant and trainer for the world record attempt. So they actually got together to train. This actual world record attempt took place surrounded by fish in a tunnel at San Francisco's Aquarium of the Bay on the 11th of November in 14 degrees Celsius water. Friends and family watched as she worked rapidly through her repertoire with two expert witnesses in the tank to confirm that she had successfully executed 38 illusions, and video footage was later reviewed by a Guinness World Record adjudicator. Master instructor Reniti told DiverNet that Avery is a natural. She's an ambassador for the Aquarium of the Bay and has done talks in front of hundreds of people. She's my most accomplished scuba magician and truly a role model for youths everywhere. A professional magician for more than 30 years, Reniti says that he signed up more than 4,000 people as scuba magician instructors and personally certified more than 250 divers with his specialty. When Avery became the youngest scuba magician, he said that you can see a drive and determination that's not present in most girls of her age. She's constantly striving for better performance of the tricks. Shows me she has a desire to truly represent the art form. This year, in working with her for the Guinness World Record, she was relentless. She didn't want to simply break the record. She wanted to annihilate the record, which she pretty well did. Her first official attempt with me after a lot of training was 25. She then spent months perfecting her skills to get up to nearly double that. She practiced and prepared 50 tricks to do. I believe this record is making a difference for the sport of scuba diving, as well as teaching youngsters to strive for their best in all pursuits that they may have. Guinness World Records commented, Avery felt so at home in the tank when she was there, despite the cold, that she named the fish swimming around her during her practice sessions, including one she dubbed Zito, who seemed keen to join in as much as possible. So that's a nice little news story, an underwater magician. And I'm sure that we'll see sort of much more from her in the future, doing some clever underwater stuff. Next, onto a rather interesting news story, and fairly, I'd say, controversial. And Australia's Defence Minister and Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles launched a tirade against the Chinese government, calling the conduct of its PLA Navy destroyer Ningbo unsafe and unprofessional. So there was an incident on the 14th of November whilst the Royal Australian Navy frigate HMAS Toowoomba was in international waters in Japan's exclusive economic zone after conducting operations in support of UN sanctions enforcement. It had been heading for a Japanese port on a scheduled visit, but fishing nets became entangled around the frigate's propellers, so it stopped. Divers were sent into the water to remove them. And at all times, Toowoomba communicated its intention to conduct diving operations on normal maritime channels using the internationally recognized signals. They told everyone in the area, hey, we've got divers in the water, please give us plenty of space. And whilst the diving operations were underway, the Chinese destroyer Ningbo, which had been in the vicinity, started to approach Toowoomba. The frigate's crew reminded the Chinese vessel that diving was underway and asked that it keep clear. Ningbo acknowledged receiving Toowoomba's communications, but still maintained its approach. Soon afterwards, it was detected operating its hull-mounted sonar, quote, in a manner that posed a risk to the safety of the Australian divers who were forced to exit the water. The divers were medically assessed and found to have sustained minor injuries. This was considered likely due to being subjected to the sonar pulses from the Chinese destroyer. According to the UK's Diving Medical Advisory Committee, divers exposed to sonar transmissions can suffer from dizziness, hearing damage, or other injuries to other sensitive organs, depending on the frequency and the intensity of the sound. This may include neurological symptoms such as blurred vision, lightheadedness, vibratory sensations in the hands, arms, and legs, and tremors in the upper extremities. The single most important criterion related to diver safety resulting from low-frequency sonar is that of disorientation due to vestibular stimulation. Just what a lousy thing to do, and like blatant disregard for diver safety. They responded that they knew that divers were in the water. They continued to get closer in, and then they turned on their sonar. So it is blatant they knew exactly what they were doing. It's really not painting China in a very good light. As if they had a good reputation to begin with. This week saw the announcement of the launch of a new annual dive show in Sydney, Australia in September 2024, the Go Diving Show Australia New Zealand. So since its inception, the Go Diving Show has become a staple in the UK diving scene, providing the perfect kickstart for a new beginning of the diving season. It's typically March around here in the UK, and the Go Diving Show Australia New Zealand aims to do the same thing for the local diving in Australia and New Zealand. So our editorial director, Mark Evans, explained the whole ethos of the Go Diving Show from the very beginning was to create an educational, inspirational, and interactive event suitable for everyone from those interested in diving through relative novices to more advanced divers and technical explorers, as well as snorkelers and freedivers. We have sought to do this in the UK through a sublime blend of experts, speakers across a series of dedicated stages, mixed in with interactive features such as breath hold workshops, virtual reality dives, cave systems, tri-dive pools, and more, all surrounded by hundreds of exhibitors from around our blue planet, including manufacturers, distributors, tourist boards, tour operators, dive resorts, training agencies, liveaboards, and charter boats. Our aim is to mirror this rich smorgasbord of content at the Go Diving Show ANZ and create an annual event right before the local dive season gets started in Australia and New Zealand to further enthuse and invigorate divers in this region. So if any of you don't know, it's run by Rourke Media Limited, who runs Scuba Diver magazine. And we have Scuba Diver UK. We have Scuba Diver North America. We also have Scuba Diver ANZ, which is the Australia-New Zealand version of our magazine. And Brisbane-based editor Adrian Stacey is really looking forward to a growing synergy between the two Australia and New Zealand-focused entities. He said, we have some incredible diving off the shores of Australia and New Zealand, which we will be aiming to showcase at the Go Diving Show ANZ, as well as diving destinations around the world that will whet the appetite for global travel. We want the Go Diving Show ANZ to resonate with divers of all levels and certification and experience, and so there will be stages dedicated to local diving, underwater photography and technical diving, as well as a main stage that will host some big name speakers. To pre-register for the Go Diving Show ANZ in September 24, either as an attendee or as an exhibitor, there's going to be a link down in the description below. Another news story, this time French cave explorer Frederick Swarzynski has set a new world record after descending to a staggering 308 meters during an epic 7-hour dive in the Font Estremar system in the eastern Pyrenees. The 50-year-old from Marseille is a mechanical engineer and well-known Trimix cave and rebreather instructor who has been diving since the age of 12. He made his first solo Trimix dive to 120 meters at the age of 18 and began using rebreathers in the year 2000. There's video of his dive on YouTube. I'll try to remember to pop a link in the description below for that, just to sort of watch his amazing feat and all the equipment that he had to bring along with him. I think I counted at least two DPVs to help reduce the energy of swimming all that distance. So yeah, incredible. And yeah, as always, beautiful sort of visions and sort of photos and videos coming out of the cave system. So well done. Congratulations. In Hawaii, a Navy surveillance plane flying in rainy weather overshot a runway on Monday at a military base with 9 aboard, and eventually landing on top of a nearby coral reef. All 9 crew members were uninjured. The aircraft itself was a P-8 A, which is very similar to a 737, a Boeing 737, and they're often used for like reconnaissance and intelligence gathering, as well as like hunting for submarines. And the military rather quickly surrounded the crash site with booms to help any leaked fuel from spreading, but did not offer any assessment of any possible environmental damage, Hawaii News Now reports. So not great news. Granted, the weather conditions were poor, but I would have thought that a Navy pilot would have been able to overcome that. I don't know. They haven't released a report of exactly what happened, but whatever happens, it's not good for the local ecosystem. According to Heritage Daily, underwater archaeologists from the Superintendency of the Metropolitan Area of Naples have recovered obsidian cores from the remains of a Neolithic shipwreck off the coast of Capri. So the wreck was first discovered by a diving team from the Naples Police Headquarters underwater unit near Capri's famous Blue Grotto, which is a site that's known to have been used as a private bathroom by Roman emperors. Lovely dive site. A recent recovery mission to the wreck site discovered a dispersion of obsidian core material at a depth of around 40 meters. One of the recovered cores shows clear traces of chiseling and carving on its surface, which has been transported to the superintendency for the removal of marine concretions and preservation. The core measures approximately 28 by 20 centimeters by 15 centimeters tall and weighs almost 8 kilograms. And from what you can see in the picture, they just seem to be laying there, just in this sort of open area, just waiting to be discovered. So it's pretty cool. And yeah, if you're just swimming over and you see just what looks to be a bit like a rock, it might actually have some much more interesting history behind it. And hopefully this will sort of lead archaeologist to find out something something just as fascinating about this prehistoric area, or the area when it was prehistoric. As far as dive equipment, or specifically new dive equipment goes, nothing overly new. Most of the big, like, interesting releases at Demo were done on the first day or two. It was mainly the Garmin Descent and the Shearwater Tern. But this week is Black Friday, so if you need to, now is the time to buy some dive equipment, because chances are it's going to be on offer. I'm recording this before Black Friday, so I don't know if there's anything like stunning amazing, but from what I can tell already, some companies are already discounting. It's not unusual to have like a Black Friday week instead of just being Black Friday itself. I'm looking at scuba.com. For an unbeknownst reason, the Garmin Descent Mark II is in their Black Friday offer. Still a wonderful dive computer. And now it's at a discounted rate. Scuba Pro Mark 25 Titanium with a S620. That's a nice regulator, and includes a free Octo, so that's pretty cool. You can get some that on offer. There's an Ocean Reef Iron full face mask. I dub it, I know, I presume that's why it's called the Iron Man mask, because it's red and gold. That's on offer. You got a couple hundred dollars off of that. Yeah, more Scuba Pro regulators, the Mark 25 with the A700, the Carbon Black Tech, free Octo offer again, and it's a bit discounted. There's the same one again. Oh, they separate whether it's A-clamp or DIN. Okay, I didn't know that. Ocean Reef Neptune 3 package comes with all sorts of stuff. It's not just the mask, but you get a first aid, you get a backup mask, and a bunch of tools and Octo and bags and stuff to put it in. So that's discounted. Mara's Genius dive computer, big color screen dive computer. Lots of packages as well, like regulators, BCD, and a dive computer, just to save yourself some money. Hydros Pro. Scuba Pro's Hydros Pro, both the men's and the women's, with or at least in this case, with an Air 2. Oh, and includes a free pair of fins. That's pretty cool. If you're in the market for a new BCD, you get a free pair of fins. Garmin Descent Mark II, the OTS Guardian full face mask, and with a OTS Buddy phone, so you get underwater communications as well. Mike's Dive Store has the Ocean Reef Predator Extender full face mask. That's at an incredible price if you're in the market for a full face mask. Apex DSX dive computer, that's discounted. That's a pretty new dive computer. What else? Fourth Element Hydra dry suit, Scuba Pro Galileo HUD, the heads-up display dive computer. It only fits on, it fits on a fair amount of Scuba Pro masks. And something in the back of my mind says that they created an adapter, but it's a matter of it only really fits on specific masks. But it just allows a hands-free, it just puts a little, a tiny little screen just in the corner of one of your lenses, so you can see all of your current depth, your decompression, all that kind of stuff. You don't have to have a computer strapped to your wrist. Mara's Sirius dive computer is on offer. That again is another relatively new dive computer. The Apex XL 4 Plus regulator, lovely regulator, cold water, but it's small and compact. Waterproof W7, a fairly chunky warm wetsuit, and it has like areas for thigh pockets. So if you're not into your dry suits, you want a decent wetsuit, waterproof. I think my first ever wetsuit was waterproof, and it's still going. Very strong and well put together suits. And I used to teach in a waterproof dry suit. They always used to confuse a lot of people, especially with like waterproof gloves, because the brand name is waterproof, but they're not like actually waterproof. Your hands will get wet. That used to throw a lot of people off. It's like, oh, will these gloves keep my hands dry? It's like, no, that's just the brand name is waterproof. It doesn't mean they're actually waterproof. You will get wet. TUSA High Flex Switch. That's a nice pair of fins, down from 189 to 132. Scuba Pro torches, the Nova 850 dive. It's like an upgraded version of the torch that that I dive with. Yeah, lots of new dive equipment at discounted prices. So yeah, this weekend, if you've got a bit of spare cash and you need some new dive equipment, this is the weekend to do it. It's just getting decent dive equipment at a discounted rate. Now let's move on to some Ask Mark questions. Roger Jansen says, what's your current recommendation for thigh pockets or tech shorts? Still fourth element, ? I would like to have thigh pockets, but the price of the fourth element is holding me back, and I'm wondering if it's really worth the premium over something much cheaper like Scuba Pro hybrid shorts, or of course there's options for Mares, Apex for example, but again, quite pricey. I'd be using them over a 5mm wetsuit, sometimes with a 6mm shorty vest over the top of it. I still love my fourth element tech shorts. It's mainly because of the pockets. The newer versions of the Apex tech shorts, I wasn't a huge fan of them, because the material that they changed their actual pockets to was a little bit like thinner and scratchier. So I wasn't such a huge fan. And they've got that like Velcro system to like retract the pockets when they're not needed. I'm not too bothered about that. Whereas on the insides, the fourth element, the Santi ones are kind of my like perfect thigh pocket. They're the perfect size for like plenty of space for wet notes and anything. Even if you have a ratchet reel, that'll fit inside of the pockets. They've got lots of different anchor points on the inside. You've got bungee loops. You've also got metal D-rings, so you can clip things off onto it. You've got a Velcro closure. Zipper closure is okay, but I used to have zipper closure on my neoprene dry suit, and it's okay, but in practice, when you're trying to like do it up and like after you've got something out and you then go to close it, I just found that it was a bit of a pain because all of the neoprene like gives, so it's like pulling against an elastic band. It always just springs back. I was never a huge fan, and they don't automatically seal themselves. Whereas Velcro, you let go of the pocket, and I normally give it a little tap just to make sure the hooks like engage, but it's closed. Whereas with a zipper, you physically have to do it yourself when you've just got something out. So you either have to transfer whatever you've just taken out of your pocket to your other hand to then secure that pocket and then pass it back to your active hand or whatever you're doing. I just prefer Velcro closure. On like the main tab, and on that tab on the outside, you do have a separate, granted zippered, pocket on the outside for like bolt snaps and stuff. Again, it's got little anchor points on the inside. So yeah, in my opinion, they are worth it. I was talking with a guy, a few months ago. And he said that he had thigh pocket envy for my fourth element's thigh pockets, because they are really nice. They're not just a like a pouch just sewn onto the side of of your thigh. It's a well thought out like thigh pocket. The Scuba Pro ones, what they call it, the Scuba Pro hybrid. Bear with me. Let me just have a look, because they may have changed them since. Similar, but they look a little lackluster compared to the fourth element ones. Although I'm seeing two versions, so maybe they've updated them. But the pocket still doesn't look as good
I'd still go for the fourth element ones. They really are nice. I do promise you that. I'm sure the Scuba Pro ones, the Apex ones, will work perfectly fine, and get the job done. But if you really want the best out there, then the fourth element ones, hands down. Oh, I just noticed that Scuba Pro do a full length trouser with thigh pockets. That's kind of cool. I've never seen that before. Maybe that's not available in my area. Yeah, I've never seen that before. It's like a full set of trousers with thigh pockets. It's like the Scuba Pro tech shorts, but tech longs. That's pretty cool. Never seen that before. 101 Kitty Punk says, "Dear Mark, having just passed the open water course with my partner, we're finding it difficult to find somewhere in the UK for our first dive, shore dives. Any recommendations for beginners?" The first is pay attention to the tides. Obviously, you don't want to get caught out with that. There are lots of places to go diving. It depends where you are, basically. If you're willing to travel, I always recommend the Farne Islands. October time is the best time, because that's when the younger seals are coming out to play, and there are plenty of boat skippers who will take you out there. It's not really shore dive, but the waters around the Farne Islands is pretty shallow, so it's nice, safe, pretty sheltered. You've got the kelp forests, and then you get the seals that quite often come up and play with you. Fair amount of shipwrecks. There's shore diving off of is it Anglesey? It kind of depends where you are. You'll be surprised. There's shore diving all over the UK. It is hard to nail down like one particular area. I mean, near where I am, it's kind of rough. Not rough as in the sea is rough. It's just there's not much but sand to see. So you do have to travel a bit from where I'm currently located. But there are guidebooks out there, so just search your local area, find your local BZAC club. I'm sure they'll be able to help you out and find some pretty cool local diving. And that's it for this week. So thank you for listening, everybody. Remember, all the links are going to be down in the description below. If I've forgotten any, by all means, let me know in the comments, and I'll see if I can update it. Remember to check out today's sponsor, scubapro.com. ScubaPro's awesome brand. I've been using them for years and years now, and I don't think they've ever failed me, to be honest. They've always been a very strong, reliable brand. Check out our website, scubadivermag.com. remember, if you're in Australia, New Zealand, and you want to sign up for the Go Diving Show next year, there'll be a link in the description. Otherwise, thank you for listening, everybody, and of course, safe diving.